Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. This is the Sunday cybersecurity version with my guest, Mr. Win-Win, who you can find online at AIWin. That's at AIWin, I believe, to be technically correct. And today we are discussing artificial intelligence roles in cybersecurity these days. It's a big deal. You're going to get hacked by artificial intelligence instead of a real person here real soon, if not already. As we start off with each show, even on Sundays, please don't try this at home. Consult with experts. If you have a problem, like Halliburton discovered this past week, turn to the experts that one, are not as emotional, perhaps, as you might be when you figure out you've got a ransomware request pending or some other catastrophe. And, you know, if you don't have advisors in the area of cyber security, we'll check with Mr. Win-Win. And I've known Win for, it pains me to say, at least 30 years now, and he's at the top of the game. Win, I'll let you take over. Why don't you walk us through today's agenda, and then we'll get started.
Well, thank you, Nathan. We're going to dive into the attacks of Halliburton with the last week. So as everyone knows, that 2 years ago, 2021, Colonial Pipeline also was attacked by ransomware. Cyber criminal deployed ransomware to encrypt all the data, right? And yesterday, and then last week, we found out Halliburton got hacked as well. Well, we don't know the detail, but we do know that they were attacked and they shut it down. But what we're going to talk about today is how Halliburton responded to the attack differently from Colonial Pipeline, what they learned from it. Okay? So I'm telling you, it's never end. A few weeks ago, we have CrowdStrike, and 2 weeks ago, we have Microsoft. And last week we have Halliburton. It's never, never ending. It's a never ending game, you know? So what they find out, let's talk about refresh Colonial Pipeline. What happened to them? So they got hit with a ransomware and they actually pay them.
Before that though, when you said that the hackers were able to encrypt Colonial Pipeline's data. So explain what that means. Did they, when I think of encryption, I think of data that's already protected with some form of encryption. Was their data totally unprotected, or did the hackers somehow gain access to their encryption passwords, keys, whatever?
So what happened is we found, all we know is that some kind of phishing email and they got their password cracked. So, you know, it's not like a simple hacking file that just hack your file. It's a system that they use.
And that would be a password, I presume, of somebody at an admin level, because I know with our databases we use.
They use, most likely, they compromise the admin account, most likely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not something that they just download and encrypt. They actually, we call it the C2 system. They actually, once you click on the phishing email, this first step is called reconnaissance. So they basically sit in there and watch all your move, every single move.
Log it.
Logging, it's called tagging, so whatever. And then when the time comes, they get all your password. First, they're going to compromise your backup. Okay? They shut down your backup. It's a process that they do. Like they plan everything, then they 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, then they execute. They shut down everything, right? Then the second phase is they're going to use the key to encrypt all your file. And after that, it's called a payment system. It's a system that they use. What happened to Colonial Pipeline, all we know is that all the data was encrypted. They have no choice. And they think about this. They're the one who supply all the refinery. And imagine that all your data shut down.
And that's Colonial Pipeline, you mean.
Exactly.
Right.
So they're causing a widespread fuel shortage and disruption along the east coast of the United States. So Colonial have no choice but to pay them.
Any idea what that price tag was?
They, of course, they're not going to.
I would say
in millions.
Oh, I would absolutely think it's at least that.
But and so, what do we learn from it? So what happened to Halliburton last week, and how they respond to that is pretty amazing. And I want to talk about a little bit more.
Okay, great.
How do they respond to that? So the first thing they do is...
And before you go that far, explain who Halliburton... Some of our listeners may not know who Halliburton is. We know.
Halliburton is an oil and gas service.
Based in Houston.
Correct.
I believe, or is it Dallas? They moved at one point. The headquarters.
They had headquarters.
Right, but a lot of Halliburton employees, I believe, still located here.
The majority of the oil and gas companies are here, but I'm not sure about where they are. But I know them, who they are. Like the counterpart is Schlumberger.
So. Right. Oilfield Services.
Right. So how did they respond this time? So this time they learned from it. So the first thing they do, they isolate the system. That's number one. Second, they alert law enforcement. And then they investigate the breach. They follow the system. Okay. And they shut it down immediately. So that's the first thing you need to do. When they shut it down immediately, that's indicate a ransomware attack. Usually is. You think about that, right? So I would recommend everybody. You got your incident response plan in place and ready to execute when things happen. Okay, communication is a key to everything.
And a company like Halliburton. Do they have their own in-house data center capability, or are they?
They do, but they also use a third party. So what happened is, from what I read, we don't know the detail of the attack, but we know the response, the general how they respond. Okay, they identify the problem, they isolate the system, they contact law enforcement, most likely FBI cyber security team, and then they also have. Probably from the insurance, recommend them the investigate the third party that helped them with the breach.
And I'm just curious because, I mean, I think about these things as a small business owner, and I've compared to Halliburton, I don't have near the worries that they do. Roughly, do we have any idea how many users are affected in a organization like Halliburton? I mean, it's got to be an unbelievable number.
They don't attack individual PC. They attack the system that hosts all your files.
Right, but individual users are involved because presumably they can no longer access their data?
10 of 1,000s.
Yeah.
It's dependent on how big you are. For example, like Exxon and government, in the millions.
Yeah.
Because they shut down your service, you can't do anything. Right? And that's the whole idea. So Halliburton respond, but that kind of tell you a lot about their crisis management approach, the difference. So they learn from it. This is what I hope everybody, all the big company, learn from it. Okay, but this time that's pretty amazing that they shut it down immediately and they respond exactly what they're supposed to do. This is common sense. So all of this stuff here. So what do we learn from it, right? What do we learn from the attack? Number one, robust cybersecurity hygiene. What does that mean? Strong password and a regular software update. You gotta have patch management intact. Okay, that's how you reduce cyber risk.
And you don't engage CrowdStrike to apply the patches. Is that part of the?
Well, I'm not
being a little bit facetious here, but I'm just curious. I mean, you look at some companies and they're doing 1, 2, 3, 4, just like you suggest, but it's the execution is critical, and who you have doing it's critical, and then somebody watching them is probably critical. I mean, how do you avoid catastrophe? Because you don't think Delta was doing things the way the experts told them to? You know, they were, but the experts misapplied the patch, right? If I remember
well, right, you gotta have a system. And well, we until today we don't know the exact what happened to CrowdStrike, and they're not gonna tell you.
Well, right? It'll come out in the $500 billion lawsuit that Delta's gonna
file if
they haven't already.
You know, hopefully that when we learn from it more in more detail, right?
Yeah.
But when a company that big, just think of it like this. You know, I used to do consultants for oil and gas company. If you look at how the tanker move on the water versus a small speedboat, right? Uh-huh. The tanker take hours for them to move.
Yeah.
So big company, they move slower. So they respond a little bit slower, right? And that's the disadvantage of the big company.
Well, that's the good news, bad news. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's good because they don't rush out to apply, you know, every software update right away. They let things kind of
settle. You have a system, like a system, you test the patches before you apply. You have a development, you have quality control, then you have production. You test the development first.
So you personally, as an example, do you have your iPhone? I think you carry an iPhone.
Yeah, I have an iPhone.
Do you have
it? I have an Android too.
Yeah. Well, do you have either one of them automatically download
no.
and install updates?
No.
I don't know. Do you have them downloaded but not
no.
installed?
No. Well,
do you draw the line?
I usually wait for a week. Okay. And now this also depends on the nature of the patch.
Right.
You read the patch
first. If
it's
critical.
It's critical. Yeah. Then this depends, right? But I don't just go and apply immediately, especially Android.
Yeah.
Right, Android is open source. Right.
Well, I agree with you on that, and I don't do it even on some of our... I mean, the cloud-based software is almost out of your control, right? I mean, I know people like QuickBooks or, you know, Gmail. We don't really have a choice. You don't ever get a prompt saying, do you want to update to the latest, you know, QuickBooks? Well, no, it's already done, and... thankfully, I don't know that we've ever had an issue, but you can rest assured by the time they provide an update, they've already had the issue many, many times for
them
to figure out.
They probably tested already.
Yeah,
too.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. And of course, it helps to have, well, again, it's a blessing and a curse. It helps to have a lot of users that are running the application because you know right away whether or not it fixed an issue, but if it didn't or if it made it worse, which is even... more disheartening than you got a bigger problem. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so on the third point, lesson learned. The third point, employee training and awareness program is crucial to prevent phishing and social engineering attack. Okay? It's so important. The training, the security awareness, the most important thing. And you don't have to be a big company to do that. You can do it. Anybody can do it. Any company, small or big or medium, can do it. Right? And number four, and this is the most important, especially for a big company, enhanced collaboration between a private sector and a government agency is essential. And I know everybody worry about, hey, I don't want the government inside my company. But look at the alternative. Look at alternative. You ready to shut down and lose your company? You know? So there, I recommend, see, the government have called the FBI cybersecurity team. They can help you. Contact them. On your local chapter, contact them, and they will help you.
Okay. And how, I mean, what's the, even taking that step, though, you're potentially opening yourself up to a phishing attack. I mean, how do you know who you're dealing with? You know, it's like the IRS. They don't send emails, and they tell you that repeatedly. We will not contact you by email.
And phone number, too.
Yeah, which is not exactly true. I know I subscribe to a practitioner's tax mm-hmm. tip newsletter type thing. That comes from IRS. So, you know, you still have to be careful. You know, just because it says FBI or IRS
you call
somewhere.
Them. You call them.
Yeah.
Okay? So what you do is you do research. You call the government on your local chapter. That's available. Or after this phone call, if you want to, I can tell you which number to call. I can tell you the list, okay? But you contact them. You initiate the contact, not the other way around.
I see.
Like if somebody send me something like, hey, this is the government, we can help you, I'll delete or shut it down. I'll contact them directly, just like the bank. Somebody tried to hack you using, pretend to be a bank, right? So that's the thing that you can do to prevent that, okay? But anyway, I want to talk about the nature of the attack. What's the difference between Colonial Pipeline 2021 versus Halliburton 2024?
Okay.
Okay. The number one is the way they respond in mitigations. Okay. The company responded by activating cybersecurity response plan, that's Halliburton, on taking the system offline. And we can dive more into it. You know, like they have some kind of a switch button that shut off everything. It's a planned process. Something happened, you execute, you have your incident response plan, and the people execute that button. When I say button, I don't mean like actually button, it's a process. You shut down all the critical, your backup, okay? And then you contact the external cybersecurity expert, usually the insurance company, right? That will assign that for you if you pay the insurance, right? And they, by the way, they will notify law enforcement for you too. So in case you don't know who to call, they will help you with that too, okay? And they also, in the process, the second is the process of restore and assessing the impact. Colonial Pipeline also took the operation system offline, but the disruption had immediately widespread effect on the fuel supply already. So I found it here. The company ended up paying up like 4.4 million ransom to recovery and to get a decryption key to restore the system. Number one, you never pay them because now they know who you are. They know you're willing to pay, right? And you are on their system now. So that's not good, right? So Halliburton attack affect the operations, particularly on Houston campus, by the way, and some global network. Mm. But the full detail and operation impact have not been disclosed yet. The Colonial Pipeline, the impact is very public immediately because it impacted fuel shortage and a panic of buying, causing gas station to queue and price spike across the multiple state. So that's a difference. And the public and economic impact. Halliburton, while certain impactful, the public economic ramification of the Halliburton tax far contained of the company itself and have not yet wide disruption yet. But Colonial has already happened. So this incident highlights the vulnerability of a critical infrastructure in a major corporation to cyber attack and the consequence that such attack can have, depending on the nature of the business and the effectiveness of the immediate response. So Halliburton, in a way, is different, but the way they respond is pretty, I have to say, very impactful.
Okay. Hey, Wynn, let's do this. We went past our break time. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll return with more about cybersecurity right here on KSEV AM 700.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth.
However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like with big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show. It's our cybersecurity version. And we've been talking about the ransomware attack, or at least we think it's ransomware, that Halliburton sustained this past week. We were comparing it to the Colonial Pipeline ransomware attack back in 2021 and comparing and contrasting. And then we're going to talk about some other things in depth, including backups, whether you're talking about local backups or cloud-based backups. I want to go into essentially how do we as small business people or investors, and I know a lot of my clients are investors, and they're probably thinking, well, you know, I'm not worried about it. You might should be more worried because likely an investor doesn't have the plans, you know, to recover the backup plans, et cetera, in place. And that's one reason I want to get Wynn to spend a little time on cloud-based backups because that's all I run. I mean, I have no software running locally and haven't had for a number of years. And this is from a small business owner. We used to have 19, count them, 19 high-end servers in our four walls of our office because we had operations. One of the companies that was with us was a big compact data application provider or application software provider, and they provided software to Compact to fulfill their North American partner needs. And, I mean, it was, you know, an email blast for them was, I don't know, 10 or 15,000 at least emails. And then, of course, they were supporting fulfillment operations. So they were in the early days of providing applications that would process orders online. But anyway, I've gone from that world to the world where all I've got now are, I don't want to say they're dumb terminals. I mean, they're not dumb terminals in the true sense of the word, but everything we run is on the web somewhere. Either it's a data center in Mumbai or it's, you know, wherever, I guess QuickBooks is somewhere in Arizona or California. I've forgotten where their data centers are. And then you look at Google. You know, we run a lot of Google applications. And we just assume, you know, hey, in over 10 years, I remember my first real reliance was back in 2006. I remember being part of the early, I believe it was 2006, the early invitee for Gmail. You know, you had to be invited way back when. And the move to the cloud was just beautiful timing for me because I was just starting to travel back and forth to Thailand. And I'll never forget those first few trips. I was worried about which thumb drive I had stored files on. I was taking some paper files. And now I don't even think about it. I literally get on the plane. And for that matter, most of my packing is not for the month or so that I'll be out of the country. It's for the first few days so I can either stay in Houston or go ahead and take the trip over to San Antonio, as the case may be. But in any event, I need to get some type of backup plan in place, more than just duplicating the file. And, you know, we use Dropbox and we use Google Drive, and we try to keep the data in two places. But that, if the data is infected, having it in two places doesn't much matter now, does it,
Wynn? Well, because it's sync, right? So you have to be careful how you implement your backup. But I want to talk about the cloud, the definition of the cloud. What is the cloud?
Right?
Everybody asking the same question, what is the cloud? Well, in layman's term, the cloud is somebody else's computer.
Yeah. don't ask Ms. Harris, because she's got a different idea of the cloud.
I have a definition for that one.
Yeah.
So it's someone else's computers, right? So nowadays, the conventional...
That's a good, simple illustration that everybody can understand.
Exactly.
What the cloud is.
You don't have to explain to people where you put your book offline and then you upload to the cloud. You don't need to do that. Basically, somebody else's computers that not reside on your premise, on your premises, right?
Yeah.
Because the conventional, you have your server, you have all your server, your backup in one location. Forget about hacking. What about disaster recovery?
Yeah.
Nowadays, you're talking about not just hacking, but also natural disaster. You shut down. But today, if you have everything on the cloud, if Houston got hit, what you do, you go to Austin. You're back in business. You just take your computer, your laptop, you go to Austin, and you're done. Or you can take, you go to your vacation, you still hear that everywhere.
You go somewhere where they have electricity, right?
Yeah.
It's like I was telling someone recently, we lost our power at up in northern Thailand in the Isan province. It's been several months ago. And the only thing worse than not having power is not having internet. That's worse in my world.
Okay. So now we have a solution to that also, too. What? Get yourself satellite internet by Elon Musk.
Right.
You know, the Starlink.
I agree.
That's what I have. So I can take that backpack with me, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, and then the next time power goes out in Houston, Spectrum won't be telling me, oh, we've got a pole in Houston that's caused all of San Antonio to go down on their network.
And well,
I still don't believe that, but that's why they said they were down for a day.
I have, well, what happened to Houston like a month ago, I still have power. I have power and water. What I don't have is internet. And you know what? I got two providers.
But at least you were cool. You weren't sweaty
but
and
I have,
didn't have
But
internet.
I have no internet.
Right.
Without internet, I die.
I know.
I'll die.
Scary.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have hotspot. No, I have hotspot from Comcast, and I have the T-Mobile. But guess what? The tower right there in my area is down. It's useless.
But you've got Starlink now.
I have Starlink now, so that man.
And compare
that thing,
the performance is as fast or faster.
The uplink is faster.
Right.
And it's amazing. And more secure, too, because you don't share.
And the prices come way down, right?
Way a lot down. So you're talking about in performance and security is still the best because most people don't realize this. When you use Comcast, even though they promise you 1 gig, but you actually share with your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm curious because you're the only one I know personally that has Starlink. Explain the security. Well, you said it's better. How is it better? What is it about it?
Okay. I'll give you a hint. They are using Starlink over Ukraine right now. Okay?
Right.
They're using over there right now. All right? So what does that tell you?
Well, I suppose you're going to tell me it's more secure, but can't those satellites be shot out of the universe too? Or
well, you know what?
There's a lot of them. Is that the problem? How would you know which one?
If it come to that, I don't have to worry about the internet anymore.
Well, that may be true.
I also have an answer for that also too. I have a radio. I have a low frequency radio.
Yeah.
No internet though, but at least I can communicate.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of anyway, back to the cloud to backup, okay?
And define the cloud in real terms. It's Dropbox, it's Google Workspace.
Well, I don't want to advertise for the company,
okay.
But there's a bunch of them that there's a few if people can just request it. I'll tell you which one that I use.
And the cloud storage.
Cloud storage.
And then you'll see a list of...
At least the cloud storage, the one that I use personally. And
Wynn likes one that starts with a B without telling you the name.
I'm not going to tell you the name. But at least when you get hacked, I experienced that. I thought that my file was corrupted, but you can go back to the different version, right, immediately, and you can take your file. So,
but to be clear, that's not a service that Starlink provides. Starlink's highway.
Starlink is the internet. Starlink internet. Right. The other one is the storage.
Right.
So the cloud-based storage. But here's the thing: that what you upload down to your computer to your cloud, you're gonna sync it too. So the backup is important too. I say today, even though the cloud is safer, but we don't know what the future may like, because we're going to delve into the AI and how it affects cybersecurity, right, later on. But you still have, I say we don't have 100% answer.
And AI, again, we may have users that are new to the computer world.
That is
define
also,
that.
So that is also provided danger. The game, they're using computers to hack computers, right?
To emulate people.
To emulate people.
To think better than people.
And faster.
And to execute faster. Right,
faster. And they evolve faster. They can hack you faster.
And
right?
if you're currently studying to be a coder, writing code, you may want to rethink that with what AI.
Man, I can write a whole code in 5 minutes.
Did you see just this past week, I think it was Google, that they weren't threatening their employees. They were just trying to give them a heads up that, hey, we're not going to need as many people coding because of AI. AI can code. And again, it's probably like a lot of things with AI where it's not perfect at the first rev, but you don't need near as many people to review code as you do to write code, right?
The only thing, what I notice when I use AI to do code, AI do not care about security. All they care about performance.
Well, that's for now, you know. Right. That'll come.
But get back to the cloud and the backup. People ask me, what is the solution to prevent ransomware? Make backup as much as possible. Okay? Cloud backup, also tape backup, and also air gap backup. You know what air gap is?
No, I don't. Is that a brand or a type?
No, it's a technology. It's a concept. People ask me, what is... Back then, like 20 years ago, and one of the manager asked me, what is the most secure way to secure your data? You know what I told him? Shut down your computer and put it in a closet. That's it. That's the safest.
Right.
Air gap is not touching your network. That means it's off. It's not touching your network. Once it's done, it's cut off. So it's still like external storage. You back it up and you put it inside your closet. So you have a good...
But you just said it's to secure your network. So that's another reason not to put files on your local machine.
I'm saying not everybody uses a cloud, but if you use a cloud and you have the server, you should use both. You should also, there's another way that you can back it up and put inside like your storage, offline storage, and then take that storage and put in your safe deposit box or put into a safe, whatever. Something happened, you can go back, right? That's the physical, and it's not touching your network. Well, it touches when it back it up,
right.
And when it was done, it offline.
Right.
Called air gap in layman's term. So back up as much as possible. I'm telling you this right now, because the bad guy will figure out how. They're always one step ahead of us.
Well, and the bad guy might be on your IT staff in your company. You don't know.
Do you know the term we use for that?
What's
bad guys? Well,
that?
Unintentional, intentional. It's called shadow admin.
Huh.
Yeah. We have.
That's kind of scary.
That is scary. And you know what? Speaking of shadow admin, you know, the October, they're going to be the hacking convention in Vegas.
Is that right?
Yeah. And if you plan to go to Vegas.
Is that HackCon or what are they calling it?
It's called Hackable. I mean, Hackathon.
So
they have it every year. Okay. Think about the timing that happened that one of two of the casino got hacked at the same time. Same period.
Huh.
So when you go there, here's my suggestion. If you plan to go to Vegas, shut down your Wi-Fi. I mean, you go to your phone and disable your Wi-Fi.
What about your cellular data?
No, just say it's fine for now, but just at least your Wi-Fi. They can connect to your phone and your Bluetooth. Close your Wi-Fi, close your Bluetooth. When you're at the convention, they're very helpful.
Yeah.
Apple is very helpful.
Since you brought up this topic, when you travel, you're in a hotel, do you run data off your SIM card and a hotspot, or do you log on to the hotel Wi-Fi with a VPN on your local machine.
VPN on your local machine. Okay. Always run the VPN if you run a public
Even if
Wi-Fi.
You're doing SIM card for
Either
data,
SIM
right?
card protect.
Yeah, cellular data.
That has nothing to do.
Right.
Mean, the Wi-Fi, it's okay to use the Wi-Fi from the hotel, but you need to use a good VPN to encrypt it. The bad guy don't see what is encrypted data, so you don't see. They cannot see what your bank account, thing like that. Right. I always tell people, be careful when you use a public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Enable the VPN.
Hey, that's a good point for us to take our last break. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. But I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross. And today I'm joined by my cybersecurity expert, Mr. Nguyen Nguyen. And you can find Nguyen in the online world at AIWin. That's Apple Igloo William Igloo Nancy. AI Win. Is that correct, Lynn?
I would prefer from now on you just call me AI Win, right?
Okay.
A for Apple, I for intelligent. I like that.
Okay, but to find that you got to have the at sign in front if you're going to search and come up with all your accounts.
For now, I have not kind of optimized it yet. But,
okay.
But I would prefer you call me AI Win.
I know in the web world with you know developing websites that I can. Have a naked domain. Is there any such thing as a naked handle, I guess? Is that what you would call at AIWin? What would you call that?
I don't know. maybe.
I guess if you did AI Win and you had enough accounts
AI,
out there,
exactly,
it would find you somehow.
But for this show, anyway. I would like, I'm going to change my profile to AI Win.
Just AI Win.
Just AI Win.
Yeah,
right?
I got
just
you. It's much shorter, and you don't have to explain that your first name is
exactly,
the same as your last
because
name.
Because I have an actual, I have an eyeball. I just developed an iOS app called AI Win.
Tell us a little bit about that. We don't have much time.
Oh.
Tell us just a little
so
bit.
So I have this app here called AI Win. Basically, it's security awareness. Right? You go to Apple, and you search for AI Win, and you see cybersecurity awareness training. And in there, you see... I have cybersecurity measure, respond threat, thing like that.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Google Play as well as
iOS. Of iOS.
Very
so,
good. Wynn.
Yeah.
Very good.
You know, today I want to talk next about artificial intelligence,
okay.
And we're gonna dive into those topics even more because
okay.
This is part of our life now, and how it affects cybersecurity. It's a good and bad. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, sure
right?
is.
So you want to talk about the bad thing first or the good thing first?
Let's talk about the good things first.
The good things.
Yeah. We may not get time to do the bad things today. We could put it off for a week.
Well,
right?
The good thing is it helped us to do a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
Like write our book, write our paragraph, email, more efficient. You can do things more efficient.
Search, code.
Code.
If you're a coder,
and
you can get a first
it,
rev.
And it can summarize the whole thing. Like, you know, I'm a gadget guy, right? And a lot of stuff I'm doing, I have this little AI pen
right.
that I can do translation immediately.
Right.
I have this glasses, right, that I can talk to you and you speak the language and it will translate everything for me.
Now, you're talking about eyewear glasses?
I'm talking about eyewear glasses.
Okay.
And I just grab that.
Prescription available? Or
you
no?
can put prescription in there.
Yeah.
Right. But imagine you walk into a place where you can listen to everybody. Doesn't matter
in
what
whatever
kind of language.
Whatever.
Well, 72 languages.
Man, is Thai one of them?
Thai is one of them.
Oh,
Thai is one of them.
I've got to get a pair of those.
And you look at it's so it's amazing.
I'll have fun just with my wife and son. They think that I don't understand
the
Thai.
The future is changing.
Yeah.
If you talk about Star Trek, we're here already.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing, well, closer to. Maybe not in terms of pharmaceutical or medical.
I just thought of something. Are these glasses a two-way translation? Can I talk in English and have it spit out the Thai?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I need to
so,
get a pair of
But
those.
Also the pin, the AI pin that I have can
uh-huh.
do the same thing too.
Yeah.
It has like a 5G. You can go around the world, but there's a subscription to it, and you can talk. You can... It has navigation
system.
Yeah,
and you just threw that out there. I want to explain it a little bit better because I've already ordered one of these devices. It hadn't come yet. It's been 3 weeks. I was just checking the status online, and the order has not processed. But it's the size of a quarter, but it's square. And Wynn has it pinned on his shirt, and he can speak, and it'll translate or do what we call the prompt. It's essentially, it helps you become a prompt engineer.
Basically,
it's
designed
right?
by one of the guys from Apple and OpenAI.
Yeah.
These are the two main AI.
And this is like a, $700 or $800 device, I believe. It's not cheap, but relative to what it can do, it's unbelievable and should be a lot more, right?
It's a camera, it's a video. And it's it projected to your hand. Which
and
you
it
can
translates.
Read. It translates in real time.
Right.
And a GPS, everything. You just talk to it. And it will capture. It also have a Google Gemini built into it, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's everything
well,
you
I'll
need.
Enjoy mine when I get it. And that's on top of the Plaud device. Mm-hmm. That's Plaud. That's the size of a credit card. Fits in a MagSafe wallet that, you know, magnetizes to the back of your phone that is not only a voice recorder, it transcribes the voice into text, and it has Chat GPT 4.0 embedded in it. Now, you have to pay a subscription for that, but that little device is remarkably like $159 or $169. It's insane. The value add that device provides, even if you only used it to record. You remember all the attorneys had the recording.
Not anymore. They don't use that anymore.
Right.
Now you use this part of it, your transcript.
Right.
You do all your transcript.
And you can record phone calls legally just at the push of a button. It's an incredible device, and I.
You know what I want to do?
Uh huh.
Why don't we have like a YouTube video we show people? I want to start doing
that's good.
So
that's
all
very
the
good.
Gadget. That's
you
a,
can
that's,
add that to your channel.
I'll add that to my channel.
Right.
But back to AI, you see how helpful it is, right? Now let me tell you the bad things. They're always good. They're also bad.
Well,
right?
But back up a second. For security, mm-hmm. what's the good thing for security? Can I tell somehow my device to secure my computer, my phone, my whatever?
Let me tell you. Okay, here's a good thing about AI using to help you.
Right.
Threat detection. Okay.
I like
AI
what
can
I'm hearing.
Analyze. That's the first thing. Threat detection.
Yeah.
Right. Behavior analytics. Automated response, vulnerabilities management, phishing detection. Oh, that's another one. Predictive capability. Right.
And this is by device or by my? For instance, phishing detection, is that for my Gmail account across? I mean, it doesn't matter, right? If it finds it on the phone, it's on the desktop.
You think about like back then when mankind first evolved, right? When the guy designed a knife and this guy designed a spear, then the arrow, bow and arrow, then it's a gun, then a shield. Same thing for every
weapon.
Weapon, they're always a good and bad. That's the double edged
sword.
Better
version.
Right. So that's the good thing about artificial intelligence. You can use apply to again threats, right? But here's the thing though. Now let me tell you what the bad thing about AI. Okay. So AI can help improve security, but it can help the bad guy automate hacking. That's scary. That's number one. AI can use automated process finding and exploiting vulnerability in system. Imagine if you can program faster, so exploiting the vulnerability in the system faster. Okay, the hacker can use the machine learning model to scan for security weakness across the network.
Yikes.
Much more efficiently than manual methods.
And a lot faster.
A lot faster. And allow them to attack multiple targets simultaneously. That's the thing. They can do simultaneously. Imagine back then it take about 100 computers to hack your system, right? Now they use a million of them. Think about
what about breaking passwords?
That's what I'm talking about. So
do they know how to get around the three attempt rule that you see employed with banks and everybody else?
Well, do you remember the RSA token?
Yeah, I use one.
It's using time, right? Time is a hacker's worst enemy.
Yeah.
Okay? Time. They give you 1 minute.
The faster the change, the better.
And it's changing all the time, right?
Right.
But today, do you know that IBM using the quantum computer, they can crack it in an hour, less than an hour? But back then, it takes 33 million years without a quantum computer.
Wow.
Without quantum computers, it takes 33 million years to crack it, right? But what is... I think AI already played a role a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
And now they also play a role in social engineering attacks. Password cracking.
Social engineering. What is that?
Convincing phishing email and analyze the data from your social media, Facebook, LinkedIn. I take all your information there and I pretend it's you. Oh, by the way, before the time run out, deep fake. Let's talk about that. Deep fake. Using your face and pretend to be you. That is going to be the next thing. Let's talk about next time. Deepfake and disinformation.
Huh.
Okay. Now, we will dive into, because it's a lot of information. We can dive in next time on artificial intelligence.
Next week.
Next week, yes.
Okay,
and
great.
Only if you have preferred me to AI win, then I will tell you. My profile has changed to AI win.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, let's see. We've got about 3 minutes left. What else, Wynn? Should we try to cover?
Oh, so if we have three more minutes, can talk about target attack. AI can analyze the amount of data, potential target. It can do in a mass data all at once, okay? And bypassing biometric security, we just talked about that.
How does it buy? You mean facial recognition or thumbprint or what? I mean, there's multiple.
They can create fake biometric identifiers, such as a fingerprint or facial recognition data. They bypass secure systems that rely on biometric verifications.
But how does it get my thumbprint?
Well, where
I
is that?
I guess facial's the big
facial.
One.
Facial.
From where, a photo where, on my
from
system.
Your photo. Oh, by the way, if I have your photo, I can find out everything about you.
Really?
Yep. All I have to take one photo of you, I know exactly all your profile. See, that's a danger. Right? And they also exploiting the AI system. That's a good system. They also exploiting it. Hacker can also target AI system directly using the technique like data poisoning, right? Or manipulate AI behavior. For example, they can alter the input data that can trick an AI system into misclassifying malware and benign, right? You think about they can write application that to trick you, okay? So it's a double-edged sword. It changed the landscape of cybersecurity. So that's why we talk about the backup first, right, at the beginning of the show.
This is another reason not to post on social media accounts and give away
LinkedIn.
The inroads.
You know what? I'm amazed how people put so much information on LinkedIn.
It's a plaintiff's dream is Facebook and LinkedIn.
Before I hack your company, I found out everything about you.
Sure.
All the C-suite.
Or before I decide you're a good lawsuit.
I
just have to look at your profiles, look at the images of
everything.
The home you live in, the car you drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy how people have just been lulled into.
Actually, a friend of mine got robbed because she posts her vacation. She was in Malaysia.
Right. And so she's not at her
home
in Houston.
And they hacked. Yeah. And they wrapped her house.
Yeah,
and
people don't think. They just, here it is. Come get it, you know.
Yeah. Eventually, we might have like a robot in our house.
Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. No kidding. Well, we've got about a minute left, Wynn. What else do we have? What about just a high level, how did we defend? I know that's going to be coming next week, but maybe you can preview that.
Well, you can protect your system. AI also have advanced detection system. Now we're talking about good stuff. Advanced detection system. We can develop the system that can detect abnormalities. Yes, and
right.
potential threats.
Right, sure.
Right.
Sure.
And robust data control. Implementing a strong data governance and control. Yeah. That's another thing.
Hey, because we've just got a few seconds here, let me ask you the current suite of AI products like Gemini, you know, it's a Google. One Copilot's Microsoft, ChatGPQ is kind of, it's OpenAI.
I like OpenAI better.
Yeah, but are those, I mean, is there some heavy-duty industrial version that we don't know but big companies are using? I mean, these are consumer-oriented, but companies also use them,
no,
right?
No, they, most of them use OpenAI.
Okay.
Okay, but I think that you just hit it. There are three major, right? And
okay.
Apple's coming out with one, too.
Right. Right, okay. Apple Intelligence.
Apple.
Okay, well, listen, we're at the end of the show. We appreciate you joining in today. We hope you enjoy these Sunday shows on cybersecurity, and we will be back right here on AM 700 KSEV Thursday at 2 p.m. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.